Hello, everyone. I'm Chaplain John McTernan, and this is our Monday night, actually a combination of Pastor Fred being with us and teaching the first part, or he leads in prayer like the first part. And then the second part is watch and pray. And we keep watching and praying until we've watched and prayed, and it's all over. So let's see who we have with us tonight. And Pastor Fred is with us. Hello, Pastor Fred.
Hello, John. How are you? And Lord bless all that are coming in tonight.
Yeah, well, I'm doing well. I'm doing well, Pastor Fred. Had kind of a very good weekend preaching twice on Friday. Saturday I was scheduled, but it didn't happen. And then Sunday, twice on Sunday, and I got a nice report from Pastor Abel in Nigeria that 13 Muslim women came to the Lord in that.
Praise God.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
He brought them forward, and I prayed over them because they wanted to be set free in Jesus. So in fact, let me read to you, to everyone, what he said. I got a Skype contact from him here, and it's Pastor Abel. I just finished program in church now. I will send you an update. To God be the glory. Yesterday, Sunday, the 16th of March, 2025, Chaplain John preached outpouring of the Holy Spirit to us here in the Abba Father Church, Nigeria. God be the glory. We had 13 souls that were Muslims before, but now are in Christ as their Lord and Savior, came out, and Chaplain John prayed for them. Hallelujah. So that's nice, Pastor Fred.
Oh, that's beautiful. That must have encouraged them all there.
Yeah.
That's great. Of course, yeah. That's a very hard area, and yet the Muslims are very strong there.
In Nigeria, the further north you go, it's really, I mean, it's very dangerous, extremely dangerous, but with Boko Haram. Now, where Pastor Obel is, it's more south, and he's pretty close to the ocean there.
Oh, okay.
But there has been trouble in his area, and the Muslims were looking for him for about 2 weeks, and apparently they wanted to kill him. And the Lord hit him. Actually, he came down with some sickness, and he had to go to the hospital. It was one of those sicknesses there you get, like in Africa. I can't think, typhoid or something like that?
Ebola or typhoid?
No, not Ebola. Yeah. So anyways, he was in the hospital, and when he got out, he found out that they had been really, really searching for him. And then they never came back since then.
Praise God. Well, that was what protected him, Lord.
Yes, it was. Yes, it was. Yes, it was.
Sometimes we never know what we go through and how the Lord protects us. Yes, for us. It's amazing. And you had a wonderful time in Pakistan, too.
Yeah, Pakistan was fantastic. I want to get Pastor Jamil in here to tell everybody what had happened. But we had about 200 come to the Lord. There was 25 testimonies of healings that were really fantastic. Numbers gave testimony of salvation and having their hearts healed. So it was really good. It was really, really good. That was Friday.
That's good. Praise God. You're staying busy.
Yep. I'm staying busy.
Okay. You want to hear some what I did on Sunday?
Yes.
All right. Well, it was a different day. You know, I ask the Lord each week. I ask the Lord, what do you want me to do? It's easy sometimes to get into a pattern and go through a certain book or go through a certain topic, but each week I ask the Lord, and during the night hours while we're sleeping, generally I get information as to what I'm to talk about. This time, all I got at first, and now sometimes when we get information, when we get words from the Lord, sometimes it's only just for you personally, for me personally. It's not for the people. But and the word that I got, it was a song from way back in 1972. It was made famous. It was written in 1958, and it was a song, a worldly song, by Roberta Flack. The first time ever I saw your face. That's the words that came to me all the time. And I said, okay. I looked it up, and I did like that song, but I had never heard anything about it for years and years. I mean, this is talking around 1968, 70. It was on the radio, perhaps. And it goes like this: the first time ever I saw your face, I thought the sun rose in your eyes, and the moon and the stars were the gifts you gave to the dark and endless skies, my love, to the dark and endless skies. And the first time I ever kissed your mouth, I felt the earth move in my hands. Well, you know, I didn't make too much of it the first night, and figured it was just something that came back from the past. But then it, for four nights in a row, I kept saying, Lord, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? And basically, what I did was, for the first time I ever saw Jesus or ever met Jesus. Talking about kissing, Psalm 2:12 says, kiss the Son or embrace the Son, lest he get angry with you. And so because I got nothing else, I figured the Lord wanted me to speak to the congregation about the first time they had ever accepted the Lord. And then I went into, as I was reading about it in Scripture, I looked at the church at Ephesus, which Paul visited just very quickly as he brought Priscilla and Aquila out of Corinth with him. He was there just for a week or two or something. And then Apollos, a preacher of the gospel who only knew the baptism of John, went to Ephesus. And apparently Priscilla and Aquila tried to teach him the way of the Lord Jesus, having died on the cross and the fullness of the Holy Spirit. And then Paul does come. Apollos leaves Ephesus. And this is all the first time these things happened in Ephesus. And so we're talking about first times. And what went on was that there were 12 at Ephesus who were called disciples. It's in Acts 19. And Paul comes to them and wants to know if they've ever been filled with the Holy Spirit. And they said, no, well, we didn't even know there was one. And so he baptized them, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says there were 12 of them there. And then he stayed there. He went to the synagogue and was thrown out of the synagogue, went to the school of Tyrannus and stayed for a couple of years. So the very first time they came to know the Lord Jesus was the baptism of repentance. So many different people. Let me finish the story of Ephesus. The Ephesus church got to be one of the larger churches in the ministry of Paul. And the next time we hear about it is in Revelation 2. Is that right, John? In Revelation 2,
that's exactly right.
4-5, where Jesus says to them, now this is a big church, and they've done a lot of good things, but he says, nevertheless, I have somewhat against you, because you have left your first love. Ah, I immediately knew the first time I ever saw your face. I knew what I was to do in church. I went to church. I told them and played the song, and I told them, now I want to know the first time you met Jesus. Tell me. And there was 14 or 15 people, and they were all different stories, different ways in which Jesus has reached them. Some as they were in church, some as they were brought by their mother to church when they were teenagers or something, others at 35, others at 60. And each one had a different story, more or less, to show how the Lord Jesus had touched them. And it was the first time that they'd ever come to the Lord Jesus. And they gave their story. And so I said, the reason I've asked you to do this is because the Lord Jesus wants you to go back to your first love. And we read those scriptures from Revelation. John Newton wrote a poem, I believe it's John Newton, and it goes like this. I had walked life's path with an easy tread, had followed where comforts and pleasures led. And then by chance, in a quiet place, I met my master face to face. With station and rank and wealth for my goal, much thought for my body, but none for my soul, I had entered to win this life's mad race when I met my master face to face. I had built my castles, reared them high, their towers had pierced the blue of the sky. I had sworn to rule with an iron mace when I met my master face to face. I met him and knew him and blushed to see that his eyes full of sorrow were fixed on me. And I faltered and fell at his feet that day, my castles vanished and melted away. Melted and vanished, and in their place I saw naught else but my master's face. And I cried, oh, make me meet to follow the marks of your wounded feet. My thought is now for the souls of men. I have lost my life to find it again. Ever since, alone in that holy place, my master and I stood face to face. He's the one who wrote Amazing Grace, and he, you know his life, if it's the same John Newton, but I can't guarantee it. But that's he was that slave ship owner, and whatever it was, he turned his heart over to the Lord and became a great force for the Lord Jesus many years back. But the first time he met him, John, what was the first time that you met Jesus? What's the story?
You mean to claim that he was my savior?
Yeah. That was the request I made to the church.
Yeah, it was August 4th, 1973, in a town in Long Island, New York, called Patchogue. And they had a like a block party, I guess you can say. And they got permission from the town to close off the street. And it was for the Lord. And it was a Jewish believing group, primarily. And they handed out flyers to the neighborhood in the mailboxes. I remember Nancy got it, and she wanted to go because it was Christian and Jews getting together. And she said, this must be the true religion. So I told her it was our wedding anniversary. And I said, for your wedding anniversary, okay, I'll go along with you. But if it's terrible, I'm going to leave. And they preached the gospel there. A lot of it was laced with history, which I knew. And it was prophecy about Israel, the first coming of Christ and the dispersion of Israel, and the second coming of Christ and the regathering of Israel. And he preached the gospel and gave a call to the Lord. And I believed what he was preaching truth. So I actually trusted the preacher out there in the street, a Jewish preacher. I trusted what he was saying was true, and I confessed Christ as my Savior.
Amazing. That's your first time. Wonderful. First time you ever saw his face.
Yeah.
That's beautiful. Yeah. That's beautiful. On your anniversary, wedding anniversary.
Right. So I was married on August 3rd, 1973, and I came to the Lord August 14th, 1974. And then shortly after that, I was at a Christian bookstore in Patchogue, and they recommended a Bible study for me to go to. And who was at the Bible study but Sister Roma Beda. Did you ever meet her, Fred?
Roma Beda? No, I didn't. No, it was before my time.
Yeah, and she was she never married, and she was just, her work was to the Jews. And she was like a missionary to the Jews. There was a lot of Jews on Long Island. So that's where she worked. And we went to her study. And then she told me about a meeting with a group called Message to Israel. in Patchogue also. So I went there, and who did I meet but Tom, Snap, and Darlene.
Wow.
And
Darlene, 1974.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And Darlene was the most pregnant woman I ever saw in my life. You could put a plate on her belly there, and she came straight out. She was scary to look at, right?
Well, that was Kate. That was Kate.
That was Kate. All right.
Yeah.
And then I became instant friends with Tom and Darlene, and they invited us to their house. They were having a singing group there, and that was Earl with the banjo and the guitar player. They were the glorification singers. Earl, I can't remember Earl's last name.
Earl Carter.
Earl Carter, there you go. And they were attending the West Hampton Methodist. And Tom and Darlene were going to the West Hampton Methodist. So we decided to go to the West Hampton Methodist because I loved the banjo. And then that's how we got going to the West Hampton Methodist, right? I became real good friends with Tom.
And my wife, after Tom passed away.
Yes, yes.
That's amazing. Praise God. Well, the reason it took a good, 35, 40 minutes of testimonies at the church, so we didn't have a lot of time to, but it was good how so many different ways in which people have been brought to the Lord. You went out to a street meeting between Jews and Christians. I mean, how many people do that? You know?
The preacher was a Jew.
Yeah. Oh, wow. And that your wife would be the one who wished it, you know, kind of introduced you to it.
Yeah. If it was a church event, chances are I wouldn't have gone. But it was just two blocks away, and it was out in the street. So I thought that was, you know, unusual. It's kind of like safe out in the street. So that's why I went.
That's praise God, praise God. Well, let me read what happened at the Ephesus church in Revelation 2. This is the last time you hear about it, and this is a word from the Lord about to remember and also to go back to your first love, because a lot of them had lost their first love, and he's telling them, even though they'd done good work, and let me just read it. I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how you cannot bear them which are evil. And you've tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars, and have borne and have had patience, and for my name's sake have labored, and you have not fainted. Nevertheless, verse 4, chapter 2, Revelation, I have somewhat against you, because you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from whence you are fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and remove your candlestick out of the place, except you repent. Well, that, to me, it was a reminder, that worldly song, the first time ever I saw your face, from the Lord. It came three or four times, three or four nights in a row, and I used that, and the church was edified, I believe, by listening to the different testimonies and reminded to go back to those times where the Lord really had touched them and which they remember. And the Lord tells us to remember it. So that's the and then I finished off the service by saying, well, then there are six evidences of salvation. There are six evidences of salvation which I'd like you to check against your first love and see how you how you've progressed. Some of you many years, 40, 50, 30, 20. And so the first point of the evidences of salvation of a Christian that I read was that there would be a greater awareness of words, thoughts, and actions which do not please the Lord. In other words, we learn what is right and wrong because we have a spirit that has been made alive by the Lord Jesus Christ within us. And that spirit is the spirit of man invaded by the Holy Spirit. And we allow the Holy Spirit to begin to convict us and to, in many cases, to give us perception on things when we walk with the Holy Spirit, to give us intuition, and to give us communion with the Lord. And that spirit that we have is always basically in a battle with our reasoning. That's our soul, our thinking, and our emotions, and even our pain and afflictions. There's a battle going on between those two. And the very first thing that I put down as the one of the evidences of salvation is that you have a new spirit, a spirit that has been, that was dead and now is made alive. And the Lord, the Holy Spirit can convict you when you do wrong things. As it says in John 16:8, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. And then he says also in Romans 7, for I know that in me dwelleth no good thing, Romans 7:18. And then also on that point, a new awareness of right and wrong through the spirit that God enlivens with us. We have the fact that, and we know that we are of God and the whole world lies in wickedness. We begin to see that and understand that because that new spirit within us begins to convict us and show us what is right and what is wrong. And he warns us beforehand and after, even after we've sinned, he will keep convicting us until we confess and straighten it out. So one of the first evidences of salvation would be the enlivened spirit that is within us. The second one, evidence of salvation, is that we begin to have a hunger for God's word. Certain sections will begin to stand out to us with new meaning and understanding. As it says in Job 23:12, I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. And also it says, your word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart, in Jeremiah 15:16. And in Hebrews 5:14, it says, but strong meat belongs to them that have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So God's word gives to us that, again, which is right and wrong, and it gives food to our spirit, and we do have a desire and a hunger for the word. Now, the next evidence of salvation of a Christian would be a desire for a changed life. There'll be a genuine desire for a changed life and a new delight in the direct commandments of the Lord. If we're walking and allowing our spirit to receive the word of God, we will get to the point where we want a change in our direction and a change in our life. It says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. 2 Corinthians 5:17. So we have a new awareness between right and wrong because we've been given a new spirit. Our spirit has been made alive. Not that we've been given a new spirit, but the spirit that was dead within us has been made alive. We have a hunger for God's word, and we have a desire for a changed life. Now, the next point is something that we don't teach Christians enough, especially people who've just come to the Lord. And I suppose we don't like to share it, but it's the truth. There will be an immediate increase in personal testing. The devil hates anyone coming to the Lord and will do everything he can. And so the fourth point that I'm making about is an evidence of salvation is that you're going to be tested. And often we're tested from those closest to us who don't understand salvation, or from other Christians who have lost their first love. Scripture says, "Blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you," it says in Luke 6:22. And then it says also in Scriptures, "Yes, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." 2 Timothy 3:12. So the fourth point of evidence of salvation, first one was an enlivened spirit, knowing the right difference between right and wrong. A hunger for God's word is the second, a desire for a changed life. And then the fourth point is this increase in testing. You will be personally tested. It happens whether it's sickness or whether it's people come against you, whether you say the wrong things to people, and the Holy Spirit convicts you that wasn't the right thing to say, and I have to forgive. We'll be tested in many different ways, tested in our personal morality, personal righteousness, personal holiness, because the world is a wicked place. The fifth point of evidence of salvation is a love for other Christians. It says, "Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another." So there's going to be a real enjoyment in the fellowship of other Christians. We get to fellowship with Christians, preach with them, pray with them. So it's essential that every Christian become an active member of a local church. This church must be true to the Word of God and active in proclaiming the gospel to others who have not yet heard. Now, the sixth point of evidence of salvation would be a desire to tell others about Christ. It's normal. It's normal for us to have a new spirit. It's normal for us to want to read the Word of God. It's normal for us to change our life. It's normal for us to understand that we're being tested. It's normal for us to love other Christians. And it's normal for us to tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ, to have a testimony of Jesus. That's one of the first signs of a genuine born-again Christian. It's the evidence is that we want to share this experience with others. And the enemy doesn't want us to. He wants us to be afraid. He wants us to not do this. It's important to provide opportunities for him to tell others who will encourage rather than discourage you. Bible says, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so," in Psalm 102:7. And we're also in the last verse that I'm going to give you is 1 Peter 3:15. "Be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you the reason of the hope that is in you." Not everyone's going to ask you. So there's the six evidences of salvation. If you have come to the Lord Jesus, think of the first time. What was it like? Did you develop a love? Did you have a love for the Lord? Some people move into these things slowly. Bit by bit, they grow. Others, it's an all-encompassing thing. Life changes completely. So all these things, these six evidences, are good to be able to place against our first and then our walk with the Lord to see if we're in the right frame of scripture. That's all I got for today, John.
Well, I think it was very good, Pastor Fred. It was a nice test. It was a nice test to see if we're genuine or not, or there's some part we fell down in and all. So yeah, it was a very, very nice test, Pastor Fred. Thank you.
Yeah, well, and the testimonies of the church, they were good. I felt it was good. Thanks so much.
Oh, thank you. So let me go over here for a second now. We have Sister Sharon. Hello, Sister Sharon.
Yes, hi, Chaplain John and Pastor Fred. And I just really enjoyed hearing what you had to say tonight, Pastor Fred, especially, you know, about the first time we saw his face, or really, I think, was being confronted with Jesus and salvation and everything. And I remember so clearly, back in elementary school, every Thursday night, we would have, we called it Vacation Bible School. But right after school, we would all go, if we wanted to, for a Bible study class. And I remember so clearly, you know, they would do a call each week for, do you know Jesus? Are you saved? And everything. And I went running up to the front of where all the kids were, like 3 or 4 weeks in a row. I mean, I was just, and I was crying. I was so upset. And I just was so afraid that I was not saved. I got myself crying out thinking about it. And they took me out in the hall by myself. And a couple of the older ladies, they talked to me and they helped me understand, you know, once saved, always saved, that type of situation. But, you know, when you're a little kid, you don't understand these things. And but I was so, so happy once I did understand. And I want to thank you, Pastor Fred, for bringing this up. And there's probably a lot of people out there in the same situation and stuff. And I just thank you, Pastor Fred. And I'm glad that you're part of Abba Father and you came tonight to give us a study and talk to us. And as a dear father, I just thank you so much for Abba Father International. I thank you for being saved. It's because of you, dear Father God, because of the people who care about us as children and stuff. They talked to us about you. They told us the little stories out of the Bible. And it just was so rewarding just to learn about you, dear Father God. And I also am so appreciative, dear Father God, that my dad's father was a Baptist minister. And I used to go listen to him preach too, and just different people. And I just love it. And just gone down by the river to pray, and all the ladies in those dresses in that muddy river and stuff. And that's the situation we had here too. And people going to get baptized in a nasty old muddy river. But that's what we did, dear Father God. And when Chaplain John turns on the program and then he plays Sweet Hour of Prayer, I just love it. I love it. It just means the world to me to hear that song. And I just thank you, Chaplain John, that you do play it. And I just thank everybody for Abba Father. I'm so grateful to be part of Abba Father and part of the team. And in your name, I do pray. Amen.
Amen, amen. John, I didn't give you my testimony, but that was a wonderful testimony of Sharon. I was 6 or 7. There was a man who used to do a flannel graph thing on the back of his truck, or a van it was, and the kids would all go and listen to him straight after school, and he would tell the stories of Jesus. And I remember clearly, I didn't put my hand up when he called for anybody, but I remember clearly walking down William Street, down to Bexley Road, when I was 6 or 7, and asking the Lord Jesus into my heart. And he was, he's been ever since, he's been there with me. And I want to thank him for that. It was just the beginning of a long road. but it was a wonderful, wonderful beginning.
Amen.
Oh, yeah.
Amen.
And that's how I met Jesus.
Well, Pastor Fred, as you were talking about being 6 or 7 years old, I can see very clearly, particularly in Pakistan, where the camera is pretty close to the people in the front rows, and there's like little children there. And
yeah,
when it's a call to receive the Lord, there they are, and I can see them praying and all. So
right,
they could, you know, the kids, they're there and they're hearing, and they could be at a very young age genuinely receiving Christ as their Savior.
And they could become preachers and become whatever the Lord wants them to be if they get an opportunity as he calls them to different you know, things in life. Yeah, there is. It's possible. It's definitely possible.
Yeah.
And you never count them, do you? Like, nobody ever counts them because they don't come forward and give testimonies of healing or deliverance or, you know, or salvation. It's the old people, that, you know, the adults that usually do that, don't they?
Right. Right. Yeah. You normally don't kind of count the children.
So you could figure that, you know, a lot of the children hear the word, accept the word, and the Lord gets the victory for the gets the joy.
Pastor
That's
Fred,
beautiful.
I'll never forget a couple of years back now, I was preaching to a large group of Hindus in Pakistan. They were all Hindus. And for some reason, there was a load of children. And they had never heard the gospel. These were unbelievable. This had to do with that big water baptism we had that time with the
Hindus. Oh, right. Yeah.
And so the music started and the children flooded up onto the stage, Fred, and they were singing and dancing, and it was like the Holy Spirit fell. And if you looked out, there was an enormous amount of children, an inordinate amount of children, and they were dancing to the Lord. So I'm sure that virtually every child that was there, and there could have been, I don't know, 100 or 200, there was a load of children. Sister Sharon, do you remember, because that really touched you that time when you saw.
That is one of my most favorite of teaching and preaching that you did, and all those children up on that stage and just dancing, and they were so, so happy. You know, they were down by the front of the stage, or they were on stage, and the adults were helping them dance and stuff, and it was a beautiful, beautiful scene. Beautiful.
Yeah, because you mentioned that many times, and that's why I thought of you when I was telling Pastor Fred. So that time, Fred, there was a huge amount of children, huge, there. I don't know how many. You know, I mean, I know there's more than 50. I'm sure there was 100, but there could have been more. And it was those kids, I'm sure, came to Christ as their Savior.
Praise God. Yep. You're probably right. You can't dance around there without the gospel having given you that energy.
I hadn't even preached. I hadn't even preached yet. It was just the Christian songs. And one of them was written in the Sindhi language. It was their language.
Uh-huh.
So, I'll never forget that time. That was incredible.
Praise God. Well, thank you, John.
And you mentioned Katie there when I first met Darlene. Let's pray, Pastor Fred.
Okay.
Let's pray. Father, we bring Katie before you now, Lord, and I remember her there before she was born, Lord. And now she's in serious health trouble, but I believe there has been some progress, Lord. So we're asking in Jesus' name that spirit of infirmity that is attacking her, in Jesus' name, will die.
Hallelujah.
And the power of the Holy Spirit will replace, the life of the Holy Spirit will replace it, Lord, and she will live, and she will come out of this as a on fire for you, Lord.
Amen.
On fire for you, Lord. But we're asking that there was an infection there and cancer there. That infection is all healed. What's the latest on that infection, Fred?
Oh, the blood work needs, there's some complications have been set in. That's all I can say.
But it has been improvement, though, right?
There were there was a whole satellite of infections, and then with around one big one, and then the big one's the only one left. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That's for sure.
Well, we thank you for that progress, Lord, and we're asking now that that infection die, that her immune system and whatever help the doctors can give will put to death that infection, and her body can recover from it and move to bring her to health, Lord. So we're asking the spirit of infirmity to die, both the cancer and the infection, and that the power of the Holy Spirit moves in, and we speak life and health to Katie now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, John. Thank you.
Now, Fred, I got to tell you my favorite part with Katie.
Okay.
Do you remember she was a big New York Yankee fan?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And when I would go to visit you, what would me and Katie do?
I don't know. Remind me.
We would talk about the Yankees.
You're right. You're right. She was. She did follow them. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. Because on the way to your house, the way I would take it would take me right past Yankee Stadium. So I would tell her that. I'd say, like, on the way here, I drove past Yankee Stadium. So, all right, Pastor Fred, thank you.
Thank you so much. Lord bless.
Bye now.
Bye now.
God bless you.
Well, we can go in order here, and we have Sister Paula Jean. Hello, Paula Jean.
Good evening. It was a very special evening for me to listen.
Good.
Every once in a while in my walk, the Lord really reminds me about the first love, because it's so important to Him, you know, that we not settle into a comfortable but not as close and excited relationship. There's time for that, but there's also an importance of our loving Him so much that we want everybody to have the blessing of that relationship. And He doesn't ever want that part of our love relationship with Him to die. And as I was listening to Fred talk about the process of being aware of having that song come to him four times and wondering, okay, now what do I do with this? What do you want me to do with it? You know, not just what do I do with it? What do you want me to do with it? It reminds me of that walk that each one of us have in learning how to receive that guidance that God has for us and just loves to have us seek out. And I think that's a very precious gift that He gave to His congregation and He gave to us today, is that it doesn't happen automatic. It happens with interaction. You don't just give up if you don't get it clearly the first time. You keep on seeking and pressing in. And so it was just a blessing to have Him share with us the whole process that took place and then how He walked it out with His congregation and got to hear, and everybody got to hear what the first times were like for each other. And actually celebrate with one another. the blessing of those first times of recognizing the love of the Lord, and that they wanted to say yes and receive and submit. You know, it's like, what a blessing to have shared that this Sunday and then sharing it again with us. And so that's why I said it was very special for me, because to me, the whole process of his sharing was his sharing how God was alive in him and calling him to what he, even back in Ephesians, was calling the attention to. You know, don't lose the first love. Be sure to keep it alive. And you do it by spending time with me and remembering who I am and the blessings I want to give you and the relationship I want for us to have. And powerful, powerful gift. So there you go. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Fred, Pastor Fred. Thank you, Chaplain John, for having Pastor Fred come once a week to really share the insight that God's bringing to him and his congregation, and then sharing it with us. It's just special. So thank you all.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Yeah. Okay, Sister Kathy's here.
Very, very, yes, it is just a very, very sweet night, and God is more beautiful every day. I just feel so sorry for the people who have just neglected and avoided and rejected him, because I'm telling you, he's sweet. I know that is for sure.
Okay, Sister Kathy, did we lose her?
No, I'm still here, I think.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I'm just waiting for you to lead us in prayer.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Lord, thank you so much for this night. Lord, we lift up Pastor Fred, and we thank you for his wealth of knowledge, the testimonies that he has that are in him, Lord, from the mission field, from the young preacher to the young child with the flannel graph, to just every time he and Chaplain John had an outing and a ministry together. Lord, it's just awesome. And I agree with the prayers of everybody with Kate and Nate. And Lord, just help them. Help them in Jesus' name. It is just so hard to be sick when you should be up and functioning and busy about taking care of life and God's business. So we just pray in Jesus' name that they will rally and be secure, and all the other people that are challenged physically and emotionally, Lord, and just help them in Jesus' name. Thank you for everyone, Lord, who has come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Help, Lord Jesus, those people that, like the prodigal son, are in the far country. They tasted your goodness, but they didn't receive it. They didn't accept it because it was limiting or confining or whatever. I just don't know why someone would walk away from you, but God, help them come back. Help them wake up and see that in their Father's house, there's riches and there's healing and there's hope and there's love and there's contentment and fellowship and safety and security in the Father's house. And Lord, we just thank you because you do give us 1,000 chances, Lord. It's not your will that any should perish, but that all should come into the knowledge of salvation. And Lord, we just thank you for the blessings of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob that are ours. We thank you for the multitudes of miracles, signs, and wonders that you are going to perform to bring the world at attention to you being alive and viable and functioning in the world. And Lord, thank you for what you've done, what you're doing, and what you have planned for us. And Lord, it looks like hell is coming against Elon Musk and President Trump and J.D. Vance. Lord, let them just man up for the rest of their life and not even show one crack in their armor, because they don't have to. Lord, just protect Elon's fortune, Lord. Protect his investment, Lord. He's doing good for America. He's doing good for the people in America ultimately. So we just pray he will not lose or be lose out on his freedom and have to cower down and be afraid around every corner. Just help him. Help him. We pray for Netanyahu. We pray for the IDF. We pray, oh God, for the people that are deciding the next move for Israel and how soon they will have to take extreme measures to protect themselves. And Lord, thank you for exposing Zelensky for the heathen he is, for the liar he is, for the warmonger that he is, for the criminal that he is. Thank you that you've laid him bare. And the saddest thing is there's more to expose. That is so sad. And Lord, Putin the same. Lord, they just want domination. They want total authority. And Lord, it's just very sad. And here drags on people that are laying on the battlefield and in the bombed out building and so forth, Lord, because of these two men. And Father, I thank you that you're soon coming. The world is at the precipice of falling off now, and it's soon going to happen, and we'll soon be with you in eternity. And thank you that you're giving a pause for that last person to come to salvation. And Lord, let it be. Let it be. And we just thank you for all you've done, all you're doing, all you have planned for us. And we pray and thank you for Chaplain John and everybody in Abba Father, everybody in chat, everybody in archives, everybody in X and Facebook. And Lord, just help Chaplain John with resolving the Skype issue of which platform to go to. And just thank you for the multitudes of salvations and awakenings and healing and deliverance that these people in Nigeria, Pakistan, and Kenya got this weekend. And you're not slowing it down in any kind of way at all. It's full bore, metal to the pedal, just wide open. So thank you, God, for your goodness and mercy. And thank you that you never leave us or forsake us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. Thank you. And Pastor Fred, are you still here? Yes, Pastor Fred, hello? All right, he may not be here. Brother Charles, hello, Brother Charles.
Hey, Chaplain, how you doing?
A good day.
I really enjoy. Yes, sir.
It was a good day.
Good. And what a great teaching as usual, you know. I mean, he makes us feel like we're part of his flock. And
yeah,
I appreciate it. And it's nice to know what he taught, what's on his mind, you know, how he got prepared for Sunday and everything.
Well, what you see in Pastor Fred is the true heart of a pastor.
Yes, sir.
You know, a pastor is a special calling from the Lord.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. And, Campbell, I remember being when sort of slowly progressing in my walk with the Lord, after I had become good friends with a guy my age who whose family went to a conservative Presbyterian church, and you know, where they preach the gospel every Sunday, and I just slowly started to understand. I don't know if Kathy gets taught, probably tired of me talking about it, but when you come out of the works salvation, you know, like Catholicism and whatnot, justification by faith alone is a big deal.
Yes.
And so that's where I started to hear that message and embrace that and really see in Scripture where it was so. And I just thank the Lord for that, for bringing me closer to Him. And I just, my little testimony has to do with that. That family I started to go to church with and being shown the gospel and people that really cared. It's a, that little church, and they cared about each individual soul and would, you know, not just a 15-minute homily, you know, there was a, you know, more like Pastor Fred's Protestant style. And so I just, and I'm always talking about justification by faith alone, and always I like to read about it. I've got books all over the place about it. And because it is so special, it separates biblical Christianity apart from every other religion.
Right, right, right. Absolutely. You hit the nail right on the head. Yes.
Yes, sir. And so it's just something to be so grateful for. So, Father, I am so, so grateful for your, what you did on Calvary and how we receive it, Lord, through grace by faith alone. And it's not of our works, Lord, lest any man should boast. So I just thank you, Lord. I thank you for all the testimonies we've heard tonight. I find Chaplain John fascinating because I love the Jews for Jesus and one for Israel and different Messianic Jewish groups. I love to watch them on YouTube, their testimonies. Boy, they have some powerful testimonies, Jews do. And because when the Lord gets a hold of them, it just opens their eyes up to the whole, what they've, you know, seen bits and pieces of their whole life. But it connects. It finally all comes together for them. And so prophecy and Messianic prophecy especially. So, Lord, thank you for the gift of your Scripture, of what you, by the Holy Spirit, decided would be in the Bible. And that we are allowed to live in a country where we can read it freely without worrying about having some Muslim or whomever take it away from us or kill us or something like that, Lord. So, and I also pray for the, speaking of that, of the for the Christians that are being persecuted and killed in Syria as we speak. Lord, I ask that something be done about that. And I know that their salvation is eternally secure once they're martyred. Excuse me. So, Lord, I thank you for this group of Christians, and I just thank you for everybody in chat and for Chaplain John. In Jesus' holy name, I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen, Brother John. Thank you. That was nice. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
And then we have Sister Rita. Hello, Sister Rita.
Good evening, Chaplain John. It's good to hear your voice.
Well, thank you.
And hello to everyone out there.
Well, everybody's muted now, so, I'm sure they're all saying hello.
Okay. Okay, I'll go ahead and pray.
Yeah, any testimony you want to give and then pray, you know, I mean, please, go ahead.
Okay. Lord God, I thank you for my salvation, that you took a sinner off the road of going down the road of destruction, Father, and you took me off of it. And you, and I stand today, Father, because of you, and only because of you, Father. Thank you for my salvation. I thank you for all that you have given to me, Father. Water, food, housing, clothing, and I thank you, Father, that you have given me an abundant life. And I I thank you, Father, for my salvation. Father, I pray for President Trump, J.D. Vance, President Trump and his family, J.D. Vance, his wife and his family, and for Elon Musk, I pray that you would protect them, Father, and put stumbling blocks, Father, in the way of the people that wants to do them harm. I pray for President Trump that you guide and direct him in all that he does, Father, that he will direct America in the direction, Father, that you would want him to go. And I pray, Father, also for the salvation of President Trump's soul, if he doesn't know you yet as a Savior. And I also pray for the salvation of J.D. Vance and his wife. I pray for the saving, and also I pray for Elon Musk. I pray for the saving knowledge of their souls, that they will come to know your Son as their Savior, Father. And I pray for America, Father. I pray that you'd heal and help America. And I pray that an outpouring of the Holy Spirit would come to America, and that the Christians in America, Father, would love you with all, love you more with each passing day, Father. And I pray forgiveness for America, Father, for the sins of that we have legalized in America, homosexualism, the marriages, how we have accepted the homosexual in our country, also pornography. We have a legalized pornography that has destroyed millions of lives, Father. And abortions, we have killed little babies and made it legal to do it. And I ask forgiveness for this, Father. And also, Father, I ask and pray for Israel. I pray for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in Israel. And I ask for that you would move the hearts of the Christian Jews that live in Israel, that they will love you more each passing day, and that they will not be lukewarm towards you. I also pray for the IDF. I ask and I pray for the saving knowledge of these young men and women that are fighting for their country, Father. And I also pray for Netanyahu. I pray that you will protect him from the evil men and women of this world that wants to do him and his family harm, and that you would put stumbling blocks in these evil people's paths, Father. And I also pray that for the salvation, the saving knowledge of Netanyahu and his wife, that they will come to the saving knowledge of your Son. And I pray that you will direct Prime Minister Netanyahu in the direction that you, Father, want him to take Israel. Bless his family, Father, and protect his family. I also pray for Chaplain John, that you would strengthen and encourage him, and that you would guide and direct him in the path that you want him to take, not in the path, that you would guide and direct him, Father, in his messages, that many souls will come to the saving knowledge of your Son, and that many hearts would be healed. I bless all the brochures, Father, that are out there, the ones that have gone have been given out, and to the ones that have not been given out, I pray, Father, that you would bless them and that many souls will come to the saving knowledge of your Son, Father, and many hearts would be healed. And I also pray, Father, that you will bless Chaplain John's finances. And I give you thanks, Father, that you how you have healed Nancy. And I ask, Father, that you would continue to heal Nancy. I pray for the Abba Father Fellowship pastors in their churches. I pray that you put a protection around these churches, Father, that you protect them from the person, Father, that just wants to do them harm because the churches and the pastors love your Son. And I pray that you guide and direct every single pastor in the Abba Father Fellowship in the direction that you would have them lead their churches. And I pray for Pastor Fred that you would encourage him and comfort his heart, Father, and bless him. And also I pray for his church that you would also bless his church and that Pastor Fred and his church be a lighthouse to the community that the church is in. And Father, I pray for everyone that is online tonight in the chat room, Facebook, and in Rumble, that you would bless us, Father, and encourage us. And I pray, Father, that if anybody has a broken heart, that you would heal the broken heart. For I pray this all, Father, in the holy and glorious name of my Lord, my Savior, my God, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Wonderful, wonderful prayer. Absolutely wonderful. And then we have Gigi and Randy here. Hello, Gigi, Randy?
Yes. I had to unmute myself. Sorry.
Okay.
It was very touching what Pastor Fred was talking about tonight. I really appreciated that so much.
Yeah, it was a real nice way to examine yourself.
Yes, yes. I do have a very short testimony, if that's okay.
Sure. Oh, hold on before you. Anyone that would like to call in with a testimony or a prayer, call in 717-409-5553, or you can come in through the website, meetings.dialpad.com/, then the room here is MCT911, and you can come in and directly through the website. Okay, please go ahead, Gigi.
Well, I was going to say that I had no idea who Jesus was. And I was in college. I knew Randy. He didn't know who Jesus was, even though his family were Christians. And it was so interesting because the Lord arranged a meeting for me. I had a friend of mine who was a Christian, and she brought me to church, but it was just sort of a normal kind of a evangelical church, but they weren't preaching the gospel or anything. Anyway, we went out to lunch with another friend of hers. And it was so interesting because the Lord had me meet this friend of my friend. And we were both in college for classical music performance. And she was Italian. I'm Italian. And we had all these other things in common. And she said to me, you know, that church it's okay, but why don't you come to my church? That I just started going to. The music ministry, everyone is in college for music. and the music is wonderful. So the Lord knew that's what I needed. And also because of this young woman too, she's my age and all of that. So we went the next week, and the worship was all scripture, and all these people were students in college for music, and it was so unbelievable. So everything was scripture. I didn't know any scripture at all, but I don't think it was the first Sunday, but maybe the second or third Sunday, but I went back again several times because I thought whatever that was that they were doing in worship, it spoke to me that there was a holy God. Now, I didn't know who Jesus was, but everybody in the church were students. It was like student ministry. And the pastor preached the gospel, and he told about who Jesus was. Now, I'd never heard this. I didn't know who he was. If you had said to me, "Are you a Christian?" I would have said yes, because I knew I wasn't like a Buddhist or anything, but I didn't know Christ. And so he explained that to me. And then my friend and I, after the service, we went up and we talked to the pastor. And then he had a meeting with me, and they put me in a home fellowship with people that had been Christians for a long time, so that I would be with mature Christians. And it was so interesting because they taught, they had all gone to seminary together. There were five elders. And so it was so interesting because they put me with this group of people. And what's unbelievable is the four people, I'm one of them, we all became very, very close friends. And what's interesting is we moved here, and I didn't know one of them was living north of us. So I got to see somebody out, one of the other guys, he came to visit. So we got to see them. And then we used to live overseas next to my other friend who was a missionary. And so it's so interesting that the four of us have had something to do in each other's lives. But the most important thing about that church is that they went through in a very systematic way and taught all the major doctrines of Christianity in a way that was easy to understand, easy to apply, and they were wise to put me with that group of people. And so, and then later Randy started coming to the church too, but I just found that sort of funny that the Lord put me, not funny in a humorous way, but just like cleverly the way that he did it, where he has me meet this woman with all these things in common who brings me to a church for the music. I still sing songs from that time. And the music leader was writing music right out of the scriptures. And I still remember those songs. And so I just thought that was incredible because I got plugged in right away and I had lots of people to ask questions of. And then we were studying on our own. So we studied very practical kinds of things together. And it was funny because that was only a 5-year period. And then when we left, when Randy and I got married and we left, we came back and they were in total disarray. So we were just there during that 5-year period when everything was good. And I don't know. It's such a special experience that it was makes me cry, because I think the Lord knew what I needed, and I needed people that I could ask questions of, and that they wouldn't just give me like pat answers. They would spend time with me, and explain it to me. And so that was really quite incredible. And then Randy came to Christ after that. But and we know that Randy's grandmother and auntie, they were Christians. And I came to Christ first. A year later, Randy came to Christ. And 2 years later, Randy's sister came to Christ. And I know it had to be grandma and his auntie. I don't think anybody else was really praying for us. And so I had never really met Christians before. Nobody shared the gospel. I never knew anything. So anyway, that's my story.
The Lord put you in the right place at the right time.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
John?
Yes, Randy.
John? Aaron Gobra. Nobody has mentioned St. Patrick's
I've been
Day.
Waiting for that. I've been waiting.
You know,
Ireland forever.
We were looking into the history of St. Patrick today, and it's so interesting that he was from England, but he was captured as a slave and taken to Northern Ireland, which is really a great example of man for evil, but God for good.
Yeah. Yeah. And we went, there was a place that we go to, they did it yesterday afternoon. So they had a bagpiper. So we got to see that, which was fun.
Oh. And I did send that little clip, Gigi. It's just a minute and 35 seconds. If Chap wanted to play it, I sent it to him on Messenger.
Oh, okay. It's Revival Radio, and it's a very short video just talking about St. Patrick.
Okay.
But I was going to ask you, everyone seemed to cover a lot of ground praying, and I do remember what you were talking about, the Cindys and those children up on the stage. I remember
that. Right.
That was such a special time, incredible time.
No one invited them up. They just spontaneously went up there and started to dance.
Yeah, it's incredible. Yeah. That was, in fact, when I'm sharing with people, I always share about the Cindys coming to Christ.
Yeah.
And being baptized.
Yeah, that day there was like 1,000 or more that came to the Lord.
Yeah. And then they got baptized in an irrigation canal. I always share that as a testimony with people. It's amazing. But I was going to ask you, so I'm going to pray for them. And I always ask you, what would you like me to pray for?
Things are really, really, especially opening up in Pakistan. And I believe we're moving to a real big level, new level in Pakistan. So would you please pray for that?
Okay.
It's exciting and, the way things are, you know.
Yes. Okay, I will do so. Is it okay if I read a short scripture?
Sure.
Okay. So this is something that one of our pastors used to talk about quite a lot. It's in 2 Corinthians 10. And it says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God for the pulling down of strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing every thought captive to the obedience of Christ." And that pastor used to always tell us that you need to be taking those thoughts captive, and you need to be taking those imaginations captive, so that they don't gain control over your life. And that was a really significant thing for us to learn that with him, where he was teaching on it. And I love it because he said, "You have weapons of our warfare, and they're not carnal." And he would talk about pulling down strongholds, and you talk about pulling down the strongholds in the mind.
Yes.
Which I find interesting. Yeah. And
So what he said is, if you read the words and you look up the words, there it's pulling down, which is very strong language. Then it's casting down, which is like almost violence, right? And then, so he was saying, you know, you have to be diligent and you have to practice this. And it's, he said, it's not just kind of willy-nilly. It's not, it's something that you have to do and be diligent and be, I don't know the right word. In other words, remember, it's warfare. That's what he would say. Remember, this is warfare. You might not recognize it as warfare, but it's warfare. So anyway, I thought I would bring that up because we can certainly see what's going on now, where the warfare that's going on around us, it's supernatural. You can tell it's very evil and very supernatural. But then God steps in and does something, which I think is amazing.
God has done Lord, incredible. It's incredible what he's done. I mean, it's stunning. It's stunning how he's answered prayers.
It is.
Listen,
yes.
You could add to the prayer this Saturday. They want me to come and teach at a, it's called King of Saints Church. It's north of me about 20 minutes, a half hour. And they're running into a lot of Judaism's anti-missionaries. And they asked me to come and teach. So this Saturday, I'll be speaking on Ezekiel 43. I mean, that's the stake in the vampire's heart when it comes to.
Okay.
I mean, they have no defense for that. None, zero. So that's what I'm going to be teaching on this Saturday.
Okay. So Lord, first of all, we just want to thank you and praise you. You are a mighty God. You are King of all. You created everything seen and unseen. And everything that you do is awesome and true. And we cast all of our cares upon you, because you care for us, Lord. And we thank you for your solid instruction in your word about the things that we should be doing and how you have designed your word to teach us how to overcome. So we want to thank you and praise you, Lord. We want to lift up your word. We want to lift up your name, and we want to glorify you in everything that we do. And I just want to thank you and praise you for all the people that come hear diligently and listen to the teachings and pray for one another and love you, Lord. And we thank you for John. Said this many times that I don't know what we would have done during COVID and during all the difficulties and moving and all of that without having this group of people that were praying and have something to look forward to. So we never felt lonely. We never felt isolated. So we want to thank John and the rest of the people that were participants in all of this. And we want to thank you, Lord, and we pray a blessing on John and the others who have been very diligent to come alongside and be persistent in prayer and encouragement and be present. And I just want to thank you for that. We are so grateful for that. And so I want to lift up John and this church coming up on Saturday, that you would anoint him to preach exactly what they need to hear. He knows what it is. But also we are just praying that you would open their hearts and encourage them, Lord, because we know that the enemy is fighting tooth and nail to lie and cheat and steal about everything, including your word, including who Jesus is and our response to him. So we just pray in advance that many, many people will come and listen and be encouraged and set free from this burden of people trying to draw them away from Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And so we pray that you would bring those people, you would encourage those people, and in fact, that they would be taught in such a way that they might even be able to bring those who are arguing against you, Lord, that they might be able to bring those people to Christ. So we pray in advance for all of that. And we're grateful for the opportunity. We're grateful that you taught John how to teach on this. And so we just thank you in advance for what you're going to do there. And so we pray protection on John too, as he's coming and going. And Lord, we want to lift up Pakistan to you and all of the things that seem to be moving into place for a major, major outpouring. We thank you, Lord, for answering our prayers in ways we could have never imagined, never imagined. And we want to lift up the people there that have come already. We want to lift up that group of Sindhis and all the other groups of people that have come to you. And we thank you for that special meeting where the businesswomen came unexpectedly. And we want to bless those people. We want to ask you to hold them tightly to yourself and that they would not be diverted from the real message and from salvation. And we pray a special anointing on John and Pastor Jamil and all the other pastors, and that outreach would be just an amazing in-gathering of people. And we thank you because Pakistan has been a hard place in the past, but you're opening the door. So we're asking you to continue to open them. We're praying for a major outpouring, and we're praying for protection over all of them. And we pray over the when John is meeting with them, that the transmission would be clear and that there would be no violence. There would be nothing that would interfere with the meetings. And so we just want to pray a special prayer of protection on Pastor Jamil and those pastors. This is, it's like the Wild West there sometimes. And we've been praying for a long time and we've just seen such incredible things. So we thank you for answering our prayers and the prayers of the churches and pastors and Pastor Jamil and his family. And we ask you to continue and that it would spread all over Pakistan. It would be a major change in that nation, Lord. And we thank you in advance. And I want to pray over each and every one of us that we would not give up. We would press on to the high calling of Christ Jesus, and that we would take heart when we're hearing about the revivals of the past. But we would love to see the revivals now, Lord.
Right. Amen.
And so, please, Lord, we're just asking you to open the doors. There's already certain things going on, but we'd like to see it much larger and much wider, and that it would be real revival, Lord, not just emotional responses, but real revival where people would go out and preach to their families and their neighbors and people on the street or other people at school. And we do thank you that there is a political revival, and we're praying that those people that are being revived politically would also be part of the spiritual revival and coming to Christ. I think they're much more open now, much more open now. So it says that the harvest is ripe, but the laborers are few. So we're asking you to send your workers out in the harvest and to send each one of us, Lord. We can do, even if it's small things, we can still do it. We can still pray. And give us like John calls it, the unction, so we know when to speak to people. So we thank you for the opportunities that we've had, and we're praying for more of them. And I just want to thank you and praise you in advance for all the incredible things that we can look forward to. And we thank you so much, Lord, that you have given us a future and a hope. And we know where we're going, and we know why we're able to go. It's because you paid the price for us. There was a great exchange at the cross. And we thank you for that in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And let me see here. Now we have Sister Kathy. Pastor Fred, are you here, Pastor Fred? He's still showing in the room. Yes, Pastor Fred? All right. Now, Sister Kathy, hello.
Hey.
Did you already lead us in prayer?
I did.
Okay. Just checking on my memory. I was pretty sure you
did. There you go.
But it was so long ago. What was that, an hour
ago? It was a long time ago. A lot of water under the bridge.
Yeah. So this Saturday, I am I'm speaking at the church, and he called me kind of out of the blue. I had spoken there many, many years back, and he said, I remember you debated that Tobias Singer. He said, would you come to our church? He said, we need help. We need to take care of the anti-missionaries and that Singer's disciples. I said, yeah. I'm ready. So it's this Saturday. It's nice the way the Lord opens up doors, isn't it, Sister Kathy?
It is awesome.
Yeah. So I have everything prepared already. And I'm going to tweak one thing about Psalm 110 because I want to bring that together also. That's a short teaching, but so, yep. We're going to arm the saints now. They're going to be anti-missionary slayers in the spirit.
Amen. That is awesome. And that's what these end times are going to need. And is it going to be live streamed?
I don't know. I can contact him and find out.
Yeah, check and find out. Tell him your tribe wants to know if they can
My
see
My tribe. what's really interesting about the place, It's kind of very old. It's really in the country, and his father and his mother were the ones that started the church, and that's who I preached there like a couple times with the father and the mother. But the father had designed like the menorah, and they have a menorah, the Ark of the Covenant. They have the Ark of the Covenant there.
Wow.
And the menorah. And the menorah is real big. They were working on it when I was there last. So in whatever, let's see, the table of showbread, all those instruments there in the tabernacle in the wilderness, they have, that his father made them. But the father caught COVID and the mother caught COVID and both of them passed away. It was sad.
Oh, that's horrible.
So he contacted.
What town is this in?
It's probably Cleveland, Texas.
Okay.
It's about, Cleveland would be the nearest. That's probably about a half hour from me.
Oh, that's not bad.
No, but it's a beautiful wooded area. It's like a preserve type of setting there. And it's, the woods are, what would you call it? Forests. I don't think you can build any more in it. It's kept as a protected area.
Great.
Hey, so, Champ.
Yes, Brother Charles.
I was just wondering, what is Stovia and his band of disciples doing harassing a country church?
Well, I think what it is the country church has engaged them.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they all.
I was just wondering,
they all
how he,
have a. They all have like a Jewish bent to it. Like, for example, when you walk in the church, there's the Ark of the Covenant, and then there's the menorah, and there's the table of showbread they've made. So you don't see that in most churches.
Yes, sir. Sorry, I was just wondering how he got on his radar. You know.
Yeah. That's how it got on it. They're engaging them. So he says, I know that you know how to deal with them, and we're kind of over our head in dealing with them. So would you please come? I said, yeah, sure. I'm ready.
That's great.
Well, thank you, Chaplain, for going just on behalf of all those people.
Oh, I love, amen. I love apologetics. I absolutely love it. I mean, that's my forte. I love it.
Well, I'll let you go, Chap. I just, sorry to interrupt. I just was wondering. Sometimes I wonder how old Tovia thinks, you know. And
he knows, and Jesus Christ is. He knows. He knows that Jesus is the Messiah. He does. It's
yes, sir.
I wish he didn't know, but he does know, and his future is unbelievably bad in the lake of fire for what he's doing.
Yes, sir. It is. We should pray for him, but thank you, Chap.
Okay. So, Father, I thank you for tonight, Lord. I thank you for going over with Pastor Fred, Lord, sort of like the fundamentals of the faith. Very appropriate, Lord. We thank you for Pastor Fred and bless him, Lord, now with his church. And that you would, I pray the church would be full, Lord. Be full. It's a beautiful country church, Lord. I mean, a real country church. So, thank you for him and his faithfulness all those years, Lord. He's been a faithful servant of yours. Lord, I pray for you give him great stamina, great strength, because he's dealing with his sick daughter there, Lord. And the other responsibilities he has. So strengthen him to be able to do everything that's needed. Thank you. Now, Lord, I'm going to be speaking this Saturday, and I'm asking, Lord, for a great presentation, and that they will be able to clearly defend the faith, and clearly, Lord, Islam on the, not Islam, Judaism on the run. So that's what we're asking for, that your true doctrine of your son will be supreme, and it will crush the opposition, Lord, to the point where they can't oppose anymore, or that they'll come to Christ, Lord. But we thank you and praise you, Lord. The truth is out there. So we're praying for a great, great strengthening now of the truth and proclamation of the truth. Father, we thank you for what you've done in America, Lord. It's simply amazing. And Lord, we were looking for like kind of like a little victory, and you gave us an overwhelming victory, Lord. I mean, this is overwhelming. You have crushed the opposition, Lord. They have been crushed. They're in derision. They don't know what to do, Lord. It's incredible what you've done. They don't have any lies to stand on. Their media has been demolished, Lord. The way to steal, Lord, elections is being demolished with all of these phony places, Lord, like the U.S. Aid, Lord, and the money that was being laundered through there for their elections. It's incredible, Lord. I mean, you smashed it, Lord, and you're draining the power, the evil power out of, like, the military, out of the FBI, the Justice Department, the U.S. Attorney's Office. It's amazing to see it, Lord. This is so broad and so depth. Such depth. I pray for more, Lord. I pray now that you start dealing with these disgusting liberal judges that want to hinder dealing with these terrorists that were brought in by people like this judge. Now they want to defend the terrorists. Lord, I pray that charges of treason be brought against these judges. They have no authority whatsoever over the executive branch. None. So, Lord, I pray to completely, or another step in destroying the authority of evil here would be the breaking of these liberal judges, Lord. These God-hating, American-hating, woke judges, Lord, their power will be broken. They will not be able to do this. Thank you, Lord. We thank you, thank you, thank you. Now, Lord, you're moving into other areas like in Maine, Lord. They want boys in the girls' sports. And the Justice Department is working against this. And Maine is about to lose hundreds of millions of dollars in education funds for breaking the law. Lord, I pray state by state by state, all of this here, denying male, female, Lord, and just making, having, promoting delusions, Lord, is all going to be broken. You're going to destroy these delusions over America, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. And the big one, Lord, is marriages beyond just meant for a man and a woman. That this here will be broken, Lord, and before we go to be with you, and it will be restored. That marriage is between a man and a woman. Thank you, thank you, thank you. We praise you and thank you. Thank you, Lord. It's hard to believe. Lord, we were happy with just a little victory, but this is an overwhelming, crushing victory, Lord. Lord, with President Trump, I pray you use him to crush the Houthis that are risen up like the Amalekites against Israel. And we know what you did with the Amalekites, Lord. They were to be completely destroyed and their name obliterated. And that's exactly what happened. Hamas is like the Amalekites. So are the Houthis against Israel. So, Lord, I ask that these modern-day Amalekites be wiped out according as they try to wipe out Israel, according to Obadiah 1:18, Lord, that you will deal with them exactly like they were dealing with Israel, Lord. And we're not asking for any more or any less. We're asking that the judgments in your word be applied against these modern-day Amalekites. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. So I ask you continue to use him to protect and bless Israel. And as he blesses and protects Israel, that you would also bless and protect the United States, Lord. I'm asking that Iran be dealt with now that it's on a crash course for nuclear weapons. That you completely destroy Iran, that it cannot function. Well, it cannot function now. It'll function in Ezekiel 39 and 38, 38 and 39, but not now, Lord. Not now. Israel is going to smash Islam. This first battle of Jerusalem, it's already on, Lord. It's sort of in a little bit of a ceasefire right now, but the battle is still on. It's still over Jerusalem, Lord. And in the end, Islam is going to be broken over Jerusalem. Thank you and praise you. We praise you and thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And Lord, all of this that we see, all of these mighty things that you've done, all pointing to a great outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Lord, if you can absolutely put a lid on evil like you've done, they have been smashed. They're like powerless. You could send a great outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And I believe that's the next step. What you've done here is the first step is to smash Israel, not smash Israel, smash evil here in the United States, then establish President Trump in a protection relationship with Israel, and then, Lord, send a great outpouring of the Holy Spirit here in America that will spread all over the world. And also, Lord, when you send a great outpouring here, send it to Israel, Lord. We're asking that both the United States and Israel be the recipient, Lord, of a tremendous nation-shaking outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, thank you, thank you. We praise you and thank you now in Jesus' marvelous, wonderful name. Amen, amen, and amen. Sister Kathy, pretty close to closing here. Anything in closing?
I will say, oh goodness. Well, that minute and 32 second thing that Gigi sent was just really sweet about St. Patrick's, but that's the only thing I have.
Okay, well, here's something I wanted to show you, and then this thing about St. Patrick. This is what's called St. Patrick's breastplate. And when my reading about St. Patrick, it was like common. St. Patrick's breastplate is breastplate. And so a little research, and this is what it is. It's a confession that he made. And when he went all through Ireland, he would confess this confession. And now I don't know what is true in this and what is not as true. But the kings of England, kings of Ireland united, and they wanted to see St. Patrick in a confrontation with the Druid priests. Now, the Druids were as vicious pagans, human sacrifice, as you could have. They were violent, the Druids. So St. Patrick and the Druids met in Ireland on some mountain. It's something like Elijah against the prophets of Baal.
Right.
And St. Patrick was standing there confessing his breastplate, and the Druids came to kill him. And as they got close to him, they went up in fire.
Ooh.
Now, what is true and is not true, I don't know. But anyways, something happened in this confrontation with the Druids that the kings of Ireland all there renounced paganism and confessed Christ. And that started the big evangelism in Ireland. And one of the things Patrick wanted to do was to get rid of slavery. Now, he died before slavery was abolished in Ireland, but eventually was abolished. So here, the breastplate is kind of long, so I may skip some parts of it. This is the St. Patrick's breastplate. I bind to myself today the strong virtue and the invocation of the Holy Trinity. I believe the Trinity and in the unity, the creator of the universe. I bind myself today to the virtue of the incarnation of Christ, his baptism, the virtue of his crucifixion and his burial, the virtue of his resurrection and his ascension, the virtue of his coming on judgment day. I bind myself today the virtue of the love of the seraphim, the obedience of the angels, and the hope of the resurrection unto reward, the prayers of the patriarchs, the predictions of the apostles, the preaching of the apostles, in faith of confessors, the purity of the holy virgins, and indeed the righteous men. I bind myself today, God's power to guide me, his might to uphold me, his wisdom to teach me, God's eye to watch over me, his ear to hear me, God's word to give me speech, his hands to guide me, God's way to lie before me, God's host to secure me against the snares of demons, against the seduction of vices, against the lust of nature. That's paganism. Against everyone who mediates to injure me, whether far or near, whether few or with many. I invoke today all these virtues against the evil, hostile, merciless power which may assail my body and my soul, against the inclinations of false prophets, against the black laws of heathenism, against the false laws of heresy, against the deceits of idolatry, against the spells of women and smiths and druids, against every knowledge that binds the soul of man. Christ, protect me today against every poison, against burnings, against drownings, against death wound, that I may receive abundant reward. Christ with me, Christ before me, Christ behind me, Christ with me, Christ beneath me, Christ above me, Christ at my right hand, Christ at my left hand, Christ in the fort, Christ in the chariot seat, Christ in the heart of everyone who thinks of me, Christ in the mouth of everyone who speaks to me, Christ in every eye that sees me, Christ in every ear that hears me. I bind to myself today the strong virtue of the invocation of the Trinity. I believe the Trinity and in the Unity, the Creator of the universe. That was St. Wow. Patrick's breastplate.
Outstanding.
So apparently when the Druid priests came against him, he was standing there confessing, Christ with me, Christ before me, Christ behind me, Christ within me. That's what he was confessing. And they, again, what if you call it legend or whatever, the Druid, something did happen on that confrontation that day. But the report is that as the Druids came close to him, they burnt up. They went on fire. But that's pretty good, isn't it, Sister Kathy? So that's the breastplate, St. Patrick's breastplate.
I don't think he could have added anything else into it that would help a bit. That was powerful.
Wasn't it? Boy, the first time I saw that, I read that, I went, wow, me.
Yep.
This should be.
I really enjoyed that too.
Yeah.
Mr. Patty. I really, really enjoyed that.
Yeah, remember, I'm J. Patty till midnight.
That's right, J. Patty. I said.
Okay, so here we go.
And I would just like to say thank you to everybody here in Abba Father who listened to me earlier and stuff. And everybody here just means so much to me. And I say God bless you all.
Well, you mean a lot to us, Sister Sharon. So
yes,
I've got this here to show that Sister Kathy wants to show. And by the way, St. Patrick was not Irish. He was not British. He was Roman. His father
Roman?
Was
really?
Yes, his father was a Roman politician in Great Britain. And St. Patrick was on a ship and he was captured by the Irish pirates who then sold him, I think, to France as a slave. And then he came back from France to Ireland, and the Lord put it on his heart to preach in Ireland, and he eventually became free, and he took the Druids on. So here's something here about St. Patrick. It's only a minute and a half.
It begins in a dream. A voice calls out across the veil of sleep. A voice not of men, but of a people, unseen, yet undeniable. Patrick, still young, sees them in the spirit, their voices rising from a distant shore. Come back to us, holy boy. Come and help us. The words burn into his soul. Ireland is calling, but destiny is not rushed. Patrick does not return at once. For years, he trains, prepares, and waits, knowing that when he does return, it will not be as a captive, but as a conqueror of hearts. And when the time comes, he is not alone. Other missionaries join him, but it is Patrick who carries the fire.
I was brought here as a slave, and now I return as a servant.
And what happens next? The Irish, steeped in their old ways, do not turn at words alone. They turn because they see the undeniable. Signs, wonders, the dead raised, the miraculous unfolding before their eyes. Within a generation, the island is transformed, and Ireland is swept up in a new faith, one not imposed by the sword, but ignited by the miraculous. If ever there was a Be the One story, it is St. Patrick.
Oh, that was nice.
Many players underestimated Larry.
That's very nice.
Well, yeah, I thought it was very, very significant. And like I said, Gigi saw it and sent it, and so I sent it to you to show everybody.
All right. That red hair. Just look at that red hair.
And I wanted to say to Gigi, now, Gigi?
Yes?
Yeah. When I was born in the Bronx, but I was raised in Long Island, and the area where I moved to, huge amount of Italians from Brooklyn came.
Right. Yeah.
And the parents didn't, a lot of them didn't speak English, especially the grandparents. So my friends, I still remember them. I don't have in contact with any, but my friends back there was Imuno, Tarantino, G. Quinto, Leonti, Tarantino, Dayuto, Miniacci. So how's that for Italian?
Yeah, that's pretty good.
That's
We were in Long Island, I don't know, about maybe 6 years ago. And we were meeting up with a group of people that were teaching street evangelism. And it was amazing because most of the people in that area, it was Port Jefferson area.
Oh, I know that. Yeah.
And it was a church there that was sponsoring a guy from overseas who was teaching street evangelism. But it was amazing because all these people were Italian and they were talking about what they were going to eat for dinner. It was kind of weird for me, but it was fun.
Yeah. Now, if you go south of more towards central Long Island, south to Port Jefferson, and go west a couple miles, that's where I grew up. Port Jefferson was north of me.
Thank you.
Yeah. And then there was a huge Jewish section. We called it Little Israel. About half of the school I went to was Jewish. And the huge percentage was Italian, and a smaller percentage was Irish, and then the rest were kind of mixed, German and things like that. So I thought the whole world when I was a kid was Jewish, Irish, and Italian.
Yeah, yeah.
And the Miniacis, Joe Miniacci invited me over for a Sunday Italian meal, and I'll never forget it. I thought I was going to die. They ate, and I couldn't eat any more. And he said, "You'll insult my mother if you don't eat her pie."
Oh no!
I had tears in my eyes. I said, "Joe, I can't."
I remember
eat
the story. Yeah,
I can't eat
goodness,
anymore,
yeah.
Joe. You'll insult my mother. I don't want to insult your mother. And they passed a wine glass, and I'm probably about, I don't know, 10 years old, 12 years old. And when they came to give me wine, I was sitting right next to Joe's father. He was at the head of the table. So he moved his finger. No, I'm showing. He went like this. No. And they took the glass and they put it upside down. Because if I would have went home and told my mother that they gave me wine. But I went home, I went to bed, and I laid down in the bed, and I was in pain. That was my Sunday, real Italian. Joe's father and mother-in-law were from Italy. And it was something to behold.
Like
those Sunday Italian dinners were something.
Yeah.
All right.
I can smell it.
Oh, man. Joe, I don't want to insult your mother, Joe. I don't want to insult her. I was crying.
John?
Yes, Randy.
How long is Long Island?
120 miles.
Wow. When we went to Fort Jefferson, when we came where Staten Island is, I thought we were about there, and then we just drove and drove and drove.
It's a long way.
Yeah, it's about halfway out, Port Jefferson. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. So
thanks,
it's
John.
Port Jefferson's a very, very nice, quaint town. Very nice.
Yeah. The church there was really nice.
Do you remember the name of it?
I don't. It was in Port Jefferson itself. It was kind of an older building, and you had to walk up quite a few stairs. But they were doing it in jointly with another church down the road from there. I don't remember the name of the place, though.
Okay. All right. Well, God bless everybody. Tomorrow morning, I have the men's meeting. So we'll have tomorrow night, we'll have Bible teaching. I'm in Revelation chapter 19, and that is the marriage supper of the Lamb. And then Wednesday night, I do teach that. So I'll be doing with you, we'll be preparing for what I'll be teaching Wednesday at the church. Okay. All right. God bless everybody. And remember,
Kathy and I will be in the morning.
Yes. Kathy and Sharon will be there. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God in our Savior, Jesus Christ.
O God of burning, cleansing flame,
send the fire.
Your blood-bought gift today we claim.
Send the fire today.
Well, God of Elijah, hear our cry.